This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang. We're here every week to talk about subjects that we think are important and topical and informational to all of us who live here in the Western New York community. And I'm so excited today because we get to talk to a person that I really admire and loves, who's a household name here in Western New York, and also one of my absolute favorite subjects. And so before I tell you anything further, we are talking to Samantha Christman, who is really known as the Discount Diva, and we are going to talk about holiday shopping season. So hi, Samantha, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm so happy that we get to talk about something fun for a change, you know, in the media, because everything is so dire and everybody is so upset between the election and between COVID, and it seems like everything is so negative. And I always think shopping, no matter how you do it, is a happy subject, don't you?
I do. And thank you again for having me. I'm a big fan of your show. I appreciate you having me on. But you're right. This can be a bright spot. It's nice to have a fun subject to talk about.
Yes.
At a time like this.
I know always people always ask you this, but as I said to my listeners at the top of the program, that the Discount Diva is one of the most widely read columns in the Buffalo News and BuffaloNews.com. And I wanted to know, and somebody always asks you, I'm sure, where did we come up with the title of Discount Diva?
My husband hates when I tell this story, or maybe he loves it, I don't know. But we were, I had to brainstorm names for my column, and we went through all, we had a list, and you know, all these lists, and my husband was joking, and he said, how about Discount Diva, because I'm not a diva, so he thought that was so funny. So we just added it to the list, and then that was the one my editor thought was just so great. So that's what I'm sailed with forever.
Yeah, our husbands are so helpful in so many ways. I told you that mine gave me a sign for my desk at work, and it said, I work to support my shopping habit. So that was very helpful, too, you know. And it is a happy subject because people, I don't know, cheer up no matter what the situation when they have, I think it's therapy. Oh, I know, retail therapy. Have you ever heard that?
Yes. In fact, when Home Goods, that store that, you know, is owned by TJ Maxx and Marshalls, when that closed down, the day that it reopened, there were literally more than 100 people in line for it to reopen. And someone said, someone said, you need therapy. This is ridiculous. You can't line up like this. And she said, this is therapy. I've been stuck in the house, and now I get to come and shop. This is therapy. This is making me happy, you know, after all this time stuck at home. So
they showed all the people online when on the lines on TJ Maxx and all and Marshall's when all of them opened. They showed that, you know, in the media on TV. And you said, and they said, talked to the people and said, what are you doing? And it almost seemed like that famous day, Black Friday, although it wasn't. And I was going to ask you, since we're fast approaching, what does Black Friday mean? And is there such a thing anymore?
Yeah, it's funny because, and you know, it's funny, the meaning is, it's extra meaningful this year because Black Friday, the name came from, Black Friday has traditionally been the day or the season when businesses go from in the red to in the black. So it's the first season where they truly become profitable. This is the season that's so important to them. This is the biggest time of year for them to rake in sales and money. And that's why this season is so important to them, why they put so much effort into making these big sales and trying to bring people in, because, you know, this is their most important season of the year to make money for them. That's why, you know, with everything going on, this Black Friday is more important than ever.
But it's going to be different, right? Mm-hmm. It's not going to be one day, and it's not going to be people online, rushing into Target or Walmart or whatever, and all in a mass, because it's not going to happen.
Right. I think you know, it's interesting this year because every other year the goal is to create giant crowds and excitement and have these big long lines. And that's exactly what everyone's trying to discourage now this year with COVID.
Exactly.
You want everybody spaced out. You don't want crowds. So they've had to get really creative about things. So instead of having that one, those big morning doorbusters where they get everybody to line up for that one big, you know, great sale in the morning or that great freebie in the morning, they're, for example, Walmart has already begun its sales. They've broken into three big events, which those are still attracting a lot of people. It's still getting very crowded in there. But so a lot of these other retailers have been just stretching things out, offering, like, for example, Target has had new deals every single day this month. They've had Black Friday all month long, just to kind of try to pace things out a little bit and give people some breathing room and not have such a craze concentrated on just one day.
I saw the ads already, you know, like Black Friday is every day or, you know, starting now, and we're nowhere near the holidays, I mean, when they started it. So that's obvious because of the pandemic. Also, because of the pandemic, I think I'm interested, and so are our listeners, in how it's going to affect shopping, you know, the economic aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's funny because, oh, it's so hard to tell. You know, everybody has their ideas of what's going to happen. You see different conflicting reports of, you know, shopping. You know, it's funny, they say, you know, every year the report comes out and they say, oh, you know, Christmas shopping isn't going to be this great this year. It's only going to increase by this percentage. So they always say it's going to increase, but not by much. But this year it's just so hard to predict because people, we've just never dealt with this before. Consumers have never dealt with this before. But we are seeing that up until now, consumers have been, you know, like you said, shopping for therapy and you know, just maybe out of boredom. So they are spending money and maybe they've been shopping ahead. But we've also got, I think the closer we get to the new year, the closer we get to people coming off of their unemployment benefits or the longer they go without maybe finding new jobs or the more uncertain they get as things go forward, they might start cutting back a little bit. So, you know, it's really hard to tell how things are going to shake out this year.
Now, we said you were the discount diva for a reason. Let's talk about people saving money, because we talked about the economy and may or may not be, people may or may not be spending as much. But there are certain tips that I know you have and I've read about what people should, how they should plan what they're going to buy, who they're going to buy it for, when they should shop for it, that kind of thing for the holidays.
Yeah. Well, excuse me, my favorite tip, it's already too late for, but, you know, what I do is the day after, you know, those sales that come out after Christmas time, it's not always the day after now. They're on to us now. They don't give us those big, deep discounts the day after.
Yes, I know.
Anymore.
They're on to us.
So now we have to wait a little bit longer, but I go out and I get, especially all the, you know, like ornaments and Christmas-themed things that you can kind of re-gift for the next year. Or even things that you need for yourself, or I don't want to say need, but want for yourself, or decorations and things like that, but which are part of, you know, holiday shopping. But so, you know, all the gifts that you can get, or the Christmas cards and things that you have to pile up for the next year, and just shopping all year long is what I do. excuse me, but this year I think too, people are more appreciative of the handmade gifts and more meaningful gifts. So it's extra special, or excuse me, it's easier to get away with it if you have children, because you can have your kids make all these awesome little meaningful gifts that people will appreciate getting, especially if you have grandparents or aunts and uncles, you know, for the kids. You know, there's all kinds of great little things you can do with their handprints, or you know, little pictures of them, or little you know, little crafts that they make. So it's easier to get away with those things that are, they don't cost a lot of money, and you know, you get a lot of bang for your buck, because it's something they're going to treasure forever. It's not going to end up, you know, in the Goodwill bag, that, you know, in 6 months or something. It's something they'll have forever. So, but you have to be careful with that sort of thing too. Making gifts can get really expensive. You can end up buying
right. All
kinds of craft, you know, craft things, and you can get, you know, I get in trouble at the craft store. That's my Lord and Taylor. I get in there and I'm in trouble. So you got to watch that too.
Are you supposed to shop like I do? It goes like this. One for my sister, one for me. one for my father, one for me, one for... Are you supposed to do that?
I don't.
That's not the right way, right?
There are no rules. As long as you have your budget and you're sticking to it, there's no rules.
Oh, that's something that you have to tell. I mean, that I have to ask you. When you said have a budget and stick to it, we have to talk about that. Like, what do you do beforehand? Before you start shopping, even, you say, this is what I'm going to spend on each person, or this is what I'm going to spend totally, or how do you do that?
Yeah, so... For me, I set a total for, I kind of get a larger total in mind, but what I really do is a total per person. So I'll set something for the kids in the family. It's usually more than like my brothers and sisters and things like that. I spend more on my dad than I do on my brothers and sisters. I spend more on my own kids than I spend on like my nieces and nephews, things like that. So I have a per person limit. And I really, really stick to that. In fact, I have a couple of different apps on my phone where you put the budget number right next to each person's name. And as you buy things, you put in the price that you spent, and it will automatically deduct it and say, "Okay, you're done."
That's really good
for that person. You have to stop.
That's a really good way to control your spending. And to know what you're doing for each person. I'm glad I asked you that, because that's good. Yeah. You know, the other thing is not just holiday shopping, but all year round. John taught me this before I talked to you the other day, that we are the coupon clipping capital of the world. Is that true?
It is true. I haven't seen the numbers in the last couple of years, but we always have been. We've always had those numbers, and it's been like a point of pride for especially the Buffalo News, because we always offer such great coupons. But it's so true. And if you just know from your family members, we probably take it for granted here because we just assume everyone clips their coupons, everyone hands coupons at the register. But I'm sure if we lived somewhere else, people wouldn't be used to that. But we just take it for granted here because it's just so common.
I know. Everybody I know does it. I mean, I clips coupons. And I think it's one of the most popular parts of the newspaper on Sunday, for example, as you just said. People get
really
the paper
is.
So they can get the coupons, really.
Yeah. People will buy multiple newspapers on Sunday just for the coupons.
Is that true? See, I didn't know that. Hey, if you just tuned in, you're listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang. And today we are talking to the Discount Diva. And she's really in real life Samantha Christman. And she writes for one of the most widely read columns in the Buffalo News and buffalonews.com. And we're so lucky that she's giving us all these tips today here on Target. We haven't gotten to talk about this yet, but this is going to be a major question. With all of the, like Lord & Taylor's closing, which I've told you before, it was one of my favorite destinations. I don't know how many other stores closing because of the pandemic and because of business economics in general. What are we going to do, with no retail outlets? Or what are we going to do? Are we going to see new ones? Are we going to see the malls disappear altogether? And will everything be internet shopping?
I mean, it's definitely going to change. It has already been changing. But the idea of the big thing that we have to worry about, I think, is we've already seen over the years our little main streets and our little downtown shops. We've seen how those, they emptied out over the years. We've seen a little bit of a resurgence now where you've got your quaint little shops in your downtown centers, which are all these little locally owned places. And we always say every year how it's make or break for those places, but it truly, I mean, each year it is make or break for a few places, but this year truly we could see mass closures for so many small businesses. And it is so vital this year because, if we go into a red zone, if these places have to close for the Christmas season, and if we're not doing our very best to shop, curbside pickup with them or online with the small shops, this really very, very well could be their last Christmas, and we could lose a lot. Even the names that we take for granted now and we think they'll just be around forever could be, in very big trouble. And that's where you're going to see the big impact is these little shops that we love.
Yeah, so I know we're encouraging, and I am, and I know you are, people to quote-unquote shop locally. for gifts and for any reason, because we're not going to be able to have these stores in business anymore if we don't.
Mm-hmm, right, and it's those are the, you know, we talk about it all the time. Those are the stores that, you know, your neighbor owns that store. They're the ones paying taxes in your neighborhood. They're the ones that are sponsoring your Little League team. You know, these are the money staying in your neighborhood and staying in your local economy. You know, you're going to have empty storefronts if they're not there. So they're just vitally important.
And another thing about shopping locally is I think people feel like they're not getting a good enough deal. We talked about how, you know, people in Western New York like their bargains, like coupons and so forth. But I think there's a misconception that it's more expensive if you go to a small store than if you go to, like, a big box store. Yeah. And that's not necessarily true.
Right. You're absolutely right there. You can definitely, I think people get scared off because they have gone into places and they've gotten sticker shock, because you can go into these, you know, high-end boutiques where the prices are very high. There's certain, you know, because you're looking at different kinds of merchandise, you know, where you might be getting plastic earrings at Walmart and you go into a place that's selling all silver or sterling silver, handmade, you know, something like that. So you're comparing two different things. But you wouldn't believe the deals that you can get at these places, and you wouldn't believe just the everyday prices at these places. I remember one year I did this big fold out story of about all of these different shopping districts in Western New York, and I went into all of these little shops. I was really doing my homework. I could not believe the I was finding earrings for less than $3 that were handmade.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you can't get that at Target. You're going to pay $8 for something that's going to fall apart, you know, in 2 weeks. But
and
you're finding these little
and made in China, probably.
Yes, exactly. And these are made by someone that probably lives around the block from you, you know, and pays taxes in your neighborhood. So, I mean, you wouldn't believe the things that you can find, and you just have to look. You just and that's the fun of it, is just strolling around.
Definitely.
And looking, you know?
And yes. You get what you pay for. I'm helping you write your column. How about you get what you pay for? Have you heard that?
Hey,
yes?
That's a good one. That's the next one. I'm
going to
put that on the list.
Okay. Oh, you can have that along with I work to support my shopping habit. Oh, and also the other one, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. You know,
right.
the Better Business Bureau uses that. So now we have to talk about, of course, the way people are when they're not going out, when there's a pandemic, or in their everyday lives, people are just shopping. On the internet, I just was doing an interview about politics, and my guest said that people are probably going to be voting on the internet before too long. Now, we know, I don't know if that's going to happen, but we know that shopping is really, I don't know what the percentage is, but people are just using the internet for everything, aren't they, as far as shopping goes?
Absolutely, and it's people, you know, and especially now that we had the store shut down, even people who never shopped online, were never comfortable with it, didn't even know how to do it, they've had to, you know, they had to learn it. And now they've maybe grown accustomed to it, they've gotten comfortable, maybe they kind of realize that, wow, this really is pretty convenient, and I do like this, you know, now that I'm not afraid of it anymore. So, you know, we've already seen such a huge shift. You know, it's changed everything in retail. But I think we're seeing even more of that. And, you know, as people have been home, you know, online shopping just, you know, the numbers were, you know, record-breaking, the online shopping. So I don't know how things are going to change. I know that's going to be a very big, it's the driving force of everything. I don't know what that's going to look like in the future. But it's, you know, it definitely is changing everything.
Well, tell us, because you are the expert, what people should be aware of. What's good and bad about shopping on the internet? There must be some caveats that you tell in your column about. It doesn't all seem as perfect as it is. You have to be careful about this, and this, right?
Right. Yeah. So there's so much. I mean, the counterfeit items on Amazon. Oh, I've weaned myself off of Amazon anyways. I've done such a good job. I don't have Prime anymore. I'm so proud of myself. I was so reliant on it. But, like, for example, if you know, I wouldn't buy, even before, I wouldn't buy shampoo. I wouldn't buy any kind of, like, face cream or lotion or anything like that I learned anyways not to, because there, you know, there's just so much counterfeiting going on. And, you know, like New Era had a big fight with, you know, they're really trying to fight it's counterfeiting, because you can look at a baseball cap that looks, you know, exactly like something that New Era would produce, and you're paying almost the same thing, you know, maybe $5 less, but it's completely counterfeit. Or, you know, this happens all the time. You see a picture online, it looks like one thing. You know, there's that site Wish, which is the site Wish.com, which is just absolutely notorious for this, where you look at a picture of something, you see, wow, this is a great price, I've got to have it, and it comes to your door, and it is just not at all what you're expecting, almost ridiculously. So there are so many things. You don't know what you're getting, and that doesn't happen when you're shopping in person, you know. And
right.
People, I think a lot of people say, oh, well, I can always just return it. But in reality, most people don't return anything. They just say, oh, it's not worth the hassle. I'm not going to go to the post office. They end up just either giving it away or, you know, throwing it in Goodwill, which is just, you know, I don't think we realize that. We don't realize how much we think we're getting such a great deal. We don't realize how much more we're really spending.
And I agree with the part about it's so much trouble to return it. If it doesn't fit, or you don't like it, or it's not what you wanted, I guess they count on that, really. People just say, oh, I'm just going to give it away. It's not worth it. What about paying? That's another thing. You know, how careful you have to be when you are putting your credit card out there online to buy something.
Yes. So, oh boy. So, and here's the thing too, because for budget's sake, you know, you don't want to put anything on a credit card that you don't have the money to pay for in cash, right? So if you're going to put it on credit card, you want to make sure you can pay off that whole balance. But you want to use your credit card, because if you need to dispute a charge, then you have that extra protection from the credit card company. But it has gotten, I'll tell you, for example, I used PayPal. There's all these other systems too. So you can use PayPal, you can use, you know, Apple Wallet, you know, there's all these other things that give you other protections as well. But I bought a sweatshirt from some, who knows what it was. They hacked my PayPal, took like $800 some.
Right.
But the wonderful thing is, you know, I called PayPal, I called my bank. They said, okay, they just put the $800 back in. It was so easy. It was like, oh, okay. So, I mean, there are a lot of protections. It does happen. It's incredible how easy it is to just steal people's information and use people's information. Fortunately, banks have been pretty good about things. When it is something like that, I mean, when we're talking about scams, when people are, you know, different kinds of scams, when people are calling and saying, you know, these different scams, I won't go into it, but they say, you know, we have your grandson here, he's going to go to jail unless you send us a money order for
bail.
$1,000,
yeah.
You know, yeah, exactly. So that's different. It's harder to get something back with that. But yeah, traditional shopping, there's a lot of protection.
And as far as what people are buying, we talk about, you know, during this particular time, not just the economy, but the pandemic, they're different. Shopping is different. People are buying different things that you wouldn't have thought of before as gifts.
I was thinking, right?
What are some examples?
Well, we saw the same thing in 2008. And in fact, that kind of, when people, you know, again, it was, we saw the market crash, people didn't have money. We saw there was all this fear about personal finance and people feeling insecure about their money, which changed everybody's perception about, you know, how they felt about things. And that's happening again now. So one of the things that that changed a lot in 2008 and kind of held on, but now there's a resurgence, is giving the gift of experience. So rather than, you know, giving somebody, you know, a sweater or something like that, you're giving them, maybe buying them a pass to the national park so they can go out and go hiking whenever they want. Or, which is great, obviously, right now when you can't get out, you know, you're stuck in the house all the time. So you're giving the gift of these different experiences, or you're buying less, but you're buying something that's higher quality, but you're buying less of it, and it's something more meaningful. So people, I think, realize they want to buy things that are not made in China, that are, you know, that are supporting American businesses, we've just seen how, you know, with these supply shortages, we've seen how important it is to have things that are made in the United States, and we realize how important it is to support those places. So I think people are, you know, buying things like that, and just making sure they're more meaningful and wrapping them nicely.
I hate it when you say that, because I told you that my daughter is like, presentation is everything, Mom. How could you just hand me this in a box or a bag? You know, I was like, I don't know. I don't know how to wrap it.
You know? I know. Well, thank goodness for those gift bags, right? And then you can reuse.
Yes,
them. You know, wrapping paper just goes in the garbage.
That was one of the best tips that I ever heard from you. Yes, get the bag. And also, we only have a minute, but tell me what we should buy in the dollar store. What people tell us what we should buy in the dollar store.
Yes. Okay. So, well, my father disagrees with me, but any kind of that's funny. We're talking about wrapping. Anything with wrapping paper. So your gift bag. Your wrapping paper, my father thinks their wrapping paper is too thin and tears, which it kind of does. But if you need wrapping paper quickly for a...
So does my daughter.
Yeah,
so. She doesn't like wrapping paper from the dollar store. And plus, you recognize it, too. She's like, I don't like this. It's from the dollar store.
Well, you know what you don't want to buy is tape, your clear tape from the dollar store. Don't even... Oh, that's the worst. I made a big mistake and bought a lot of tape there once. And it's terrible. But bows and, oh my gosh, greeting cards, my goodness, they're
yes.
So inexpensive. And and you know, even boxes of greeting cards and thank you cards and things like that. You know, all of that stuff is fantastic.
And boxes, by the way, if you need boxes. The old-fashioned way, sometimes need boxes. Hey, thank you so much. I can't thank you enough for giving us all your time when I know how busy this season is for you, Samantha. So let me thank you, and let me tell our listeners again, we've been talking to Samantha Christman, who is the discount diva at the Buffalo News and buffalonews.com. And we hope what you've enjoyed and written down all of these wonderful, helpful tips that Samantha has given us and that we have given to you. Thanks for listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang. Please join us again next week. Same time, same station. Have a good week and have a safe week, everybody. Bye-bye now.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.